It's great to be with you here this morning. Sorry that we weren't able to make it there 2 months ago. We had that famous flu, the H1N1, and pretty well our whole family got it. Nathan didn't get it, but the rest of the family got it. But we're thankful to be here this morning. I want to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I want to look at a topic through the scriptures. And in Luke chapter 15, you see this little word kiss. And I just want to look at this word kiss through the scriptures. And the first one I want to look at is here in Luke chapter 15. And we can look down to verse 20. It says, "And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck," and this little word, "and kissed him." So, you know, what's in a kiss? What is a kiss? A kiss really is our inward affections coming out. It's really an action word. That as I feel towards someone, say my wife or my children, well, that's expressed in a kiss, isn't it? And here is this man, this father, who's kissing his son. And I just want to look here at Luke chapter 15. Because here we see in this little picture in Luke chapter 15, the kiss of a father. You see, there's a father in heaven who has kissed us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's telling a parable here. And there's three sections to this parable. We see the shepherd and the sheep. We see a coin and a woman. And we see a father and a son. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is telling this parable, he's speaking about something that's lost. And it's really a picture of the whole Godhead here. We have God the Son and the shepherd seeking that lost sheep. We have a picture of the Holy Spirit who's searching. And this woman that has the light, and she's searching and seeking and looking for that coin. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. But here, as we come down to the end of chapter 15, in the last section of this parable, we see a father. And we see a heavenly father in heaven who loves us. And that's the first thing that I want to look at this morning. That there is a father in heaven that truly loves us. See, this whole story here would have been scandalous to the Jews. As they would have heard this story, they would have said, "A son to do this to a father? If a son does this to a father, then what the father should do is just cut him right off." To a Jew, this is what they would be thinking. But in this story, what does the father do? The father's waiting every day for that son to come back. He's a prodigal son. He's taken his inheritance. He's gone his own way. He's turned his back on his father. But yet there's a loving father that's waiting every day for this son to come back. You know, we're just like this prodigal. And we've gone our own way. But there is a father in heaven who loves us and who longs for us to come back to him. The story's told of a man who mentioned the word sin to his coworker. And his coworker got all upset. And so the man gave him this illustration. And he said, "What if you were to take a car and say 7 out of 10 times that car went the exact way you wanted to go? You steered it in the right direction, but 3 out of those times, that car went its own way?" He said, "Well, I would scrap the car." He said, "Well, how about 9 out of 10 times? If 9 out of 10 times you stepped into that car that you made and it went the way you wanted, but 1 out of those 10 times it went the way it wanted, what would you do?" He said, "I'd scrap the car." And the man said this. He said, "I'm thankful that the God of heaven, that though I go my own way 10 out of 10 times, that he didn't scrap me." You see, there is a Father in heaven who loves us. And this is the picture here. You see, we've gone our own way. And there's a prodigal son pictured in us. And we've stepped away from God, and you know, we look at what's going on in Haiti, and people would say, is there a God that loves? Look what's going on. But it's just a result, really result of the word sin. And us stepping away from God, and this is the result, this world that's plagued by sin. And what's going on in Haiti is a result of it. But aren't we thankful that there truly is one in heaven, the Father who's in heaven, who truly loves us. It says here he kissed him. He waited for a son. Every day he waited. And he looked over the horizon. And finally one day, he sees his son coming. And what does he do? Well, he starts to run towards his son. And he grabs his son up into his arms. And this is quite emotional as you see it here. His son is destitute. His son has gone his own way. And here as he comes back, there is a father that loves him. Do you know, his son would say this, oh, that I could just be a servant in my father's house. That's all I want to be, is just a servant. And you know, he said, I just want to get in the door. I just want a 2x2 piece of real estate in my father's house. If I could just get in and just be a servant, I don't even want to be a son and take that position again. But if I can just get in the door. And you know, this morning, you know, we don't even deserve to get into the door of the Father's house. We don't deserve anything. We don't even deserve to take the lowest place in heaven and just step in just beyond the pearly gates. We don't even deserve that. But what happens here? The son comes back. And the father takes him up into his arms. And he kisses him. And I'm thankful as a father in heaven who has shown that kiss towards us. And how has he shown that kiss? He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of his heart, he expressed in an action to you and to me his love. And really, that's what a kiss is. A kiss is an expression from within that's shown without. And the God of heaven has shown us his love in the sending of his son. And the scriptures would say this, he would spare not his son, but he would deliver him up for us all. There's a little video going around on, I guess it would be Facebook. This little video is about a man who's a bridge master. And his job is to, well, when a train comes by, is to make sure the bridge is down. And when a boat comes underneath, he has to make sure that the bridge is up. Well, he had a little son. His little son was about 7 years old, and he kind of reminded me of my son. But this bridge master, he got occupied with something, and he didn't realize that the train was coming. And so his son was down, and he was fishing. And he saw what was going to happen. And he knew that there was a switch that he could hit to make the bridge come down. And so his son starts to run. He realizes my father's not around. My father's not up in the control tower to switch the switch so that the bridge comes down. But I know of a switch that I can run and I can hit it so that it will come down. Well, his son starts to run. And he sees a train coming. And he goes for the switch, but he misses it. And he trips. And he falls into the bridge. And meanwhile, his father realizes what's going on. The train's coming. And he looks down and he sees his son. And his son has tripped down into the bridge. Now, what does he do? He has a decision to make. Will I hit the switch and kill my son? Or will I leave the bridge up and kill all the people in the train? And in this little video, it flashed into the train. And it showed all the different personalities in that train and all the different people. And at the last moment, that father decided, I have to hit the switch. And he hit the switch. And the bridge came down. And oblivious to everyone on that train, his son died. In the last scene of that little video, you see the father with his son in his hand, a seven-year-old son. And you see everyone in that train laughing and so on, and they're looking out and they're seeing this father with a son in his arms, wailing. They had no idea what was going on. And you know, that's exactly what the Father of Heaven has done for us. He spared not his son, but he delivered him up for us all. He has kissed us, hasn't he? And sending his son to die for us. And here is his father. He takes his son. Oh, does he give him a servant's place or just a corner in his house? No. He's so glad to see his son. And he takes his son up into his arms. And he gives his son the best. He gives him the best robe. He puts a ring on his finger. He gets the fatted calf out. And they have a great feast. My son once was lost, but now he's found. He once was dead, but now he's alive. And the father is so excited. And here in this little picture, we see what God is truly like. And you know, this morning you might feel like that prodigal. And you might not know where to turn. And what's the answer? The prodigal didn't know where to turn. But this morning I want to tell you, there is a loving father you can turn to. And his arms are open wide. He's given his everything for you. He sent his son to die for you. And his arms are open wide to give you what? A servant's place in heaven? No. His arms are open wide to give you the best of heaven. And to the Christian, the half hath not been told. To enter into his courts, to enter into heaven, and to be forever with him. It's tremendous. And this is what the Father of Heaven is offering to you this morning. He wants to give you the best. The Father has kissed us in the sending of his Son. And then we'll look at Genesis chapter 45. In Genesis 45, we see the kiss of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pictured here in verse 15. And it's pictured in the life of Joseph. And it says, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. If you go back in the book of Genesis, Genesis 37, you see there that his brethren were jealous of Joseph. They hated Joseph. And they wanted nothing to do with Joseph. And they went off, and they went off to a place called Shechem. And his father, Jacob, said to Joseph, why don't you go see how your brethren are doing? So he goes down to Shechem, and he finds out they're not in Shechem. They're down in Dothan. So he made the extra step to go down into Dothan. And when they see him coming, what do they say? They say, we're going to kill him. Let's kill him. We what are they saying? We hate Joseph. And we want to kill him. And they take him. And what do? They throw him into a pit. It says they cast him into a pit. Because there was no water in that pit. I mean, they were cruel. And he was crying out. And they didn't listen to his cries. And they ended up selling him for 20 pieces of silver. They rejected him. But what does it say here as we come to Genesis 45? Things have changed. Joseph was sold down into Egypt as a slave. But God worked the circumstances out where Joseph became second in command of all of Egypt. And for 7 years, his task was to take grain into the barns. And there were 7 years of plenty. And then there were 7 years of famine. And those 7 years of famine The whole world was in a desperate situation, and the whole world would have to come to one man. They'd have to come to Joseph. And his brethren had to come to Joseph. And here in Genesis 45, the tides have turned. And they're coming for food, for bread, because they're hungry. It's a famine. And they don't realize the one they're coming to. It's the one they rejected. It's the one that they cast into a pit. And what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? We're just like his brethren here. He came into this world with a heart of love, seeking our benefit, seeking our good. And we rejected him. And we put him on a cross. People would say, who's responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? When that movie, The Passion, was out. You would say, well, the Jews are responsible. Well, the Romans are responsible. And everyone would blame each other. And, well, really, we're all responsible. Rembrandt would draw this picture of the three crosses. And down in the corner, he would draw a little figure. And the critics would wonder, why did you draw that little figure down there? And he said, that's me. Because it was my sin that put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and I'm responsible for what happened at Calvary. And we're just like his brother, and we cast him out. But what does he do towards us? Genesis 45 and 15. He takes him up into his arms. And he kisses him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he has kissed us. He's gone all the way to the cross for us. He could have stopped at any moment as he made his way towards Calvary. He could have said, it's enough. As they whipped his back, as they pressed a crown of thorns into his head, he could have said, no, that's it. He could have sent legions of angels down. He, with a mere thought, could have stopped it all. But he went all the way for you and for me. Why? Because he loves us. And he went all the way for his brethren. And now he stands as the Savior of the world. And today he stands as the Savior of the world. And this whole world is in famine, spiritually. And there's only one they can go to. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, he stands as a Savior today. As a young man, he tells a story of how he's in a helicopter crash. And I came across it a few months ago. It was right off of Newfoundland. And he said, I knew we were going down. And he said, I could see us getting closer and closer to the water. And he said, once we hit the water, there was 12 of us in this helicopter. Once we hit the water, it was like instantly, the whole cabin was filled with water. He said, the only reason why I could see is because our life jackets had little lights on them. And those lights lit up, and so I could see inside, and I realized that there was a window that was broken. And I went up outside that window, and I made my way up to the surface. And he said, I waited there for about 2 to 3 hours. And finally, a helicopter came across. And they let a man down. And the man said to me, just a minute, I've forgotten something. I've got to go back up. And he said, I turned to that man. And I said, don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. And the man said, okay. And he took him up into his arms. But that man became his what? His Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a Savior today. And do we need him? We need him. He's the Savior of sinners. And he stands as a Savior. And Joseph stands as a Savior. They needed him. There was famine all through the land, and there was only one that they could come to. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he stands as a Savior this morning. Oh, he's a Savior. He's our Savior, but can you say this morning that he's my Savior? He saved me. And when he was dying on that cross, he was dying for me. Can you say this morning it was for me he died? Well, for the world, yes. But for me. The kiss of the Father, he gives his Son. The kiss of the Lord Jesus Christ. He so loves you, and he so loves me. Let's turn to Luke 7. Here we see another kiss. The kiss of the Father and the kiss of the Son demand a response. And here in Luke chapter 7, verse 45, we see the Lord Jesus Christ entering into a house. It's a Pharisee's house. And then we see a woman come in. And what does she do in verse 45? We'll start at verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss. Not speaking of the Pharisee, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? In verse 50, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And here we see a man and a woman. One is a Pharisee. He's very religious. And here's this woman. She would have been, well, a known sinner in the town. We don't know her occupation. And we can guess, but we don't know. But the whole town has not forgiven her. I mean, you could see it by the attitude of the Pharisee here. And she knew as she came into that house and she came towards the Lord Jesus Christ, she knew she'd be ridiculed. But the Lord Jesus, but she continued because she just wanted to make it to his feet. And she wanted to kiss him. Why? Because she was so thankful to be forgiven. The whole town didn't forgive her. But there's one that has forgiven, or can forgive, and will forgive. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Pharisee, he had religion. But he didn't have Christ. And I remember talking to a man just about a month ago. And he was talking along these lines and how good he was and all these different things. But heaven's not filled with good people. Heaven is filled with people that are forgiven. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who can forgive. This young man thought, well, maybe what I'll do this. I've lived my life for myself, and you know, I'm so deep in sin. But maybe what I'll do is I'll go to a monastery and I'll spend the rest of my days serving God there, and maybe the bad will outweigh the good, and so on. And he gets to the door of that monastery. There's a man that meets him. And he says, there's no good thing you can do to merit heaven. But there is one that died for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can forgive you. You see, what does it matter? The only thing that matters is if stamped on our lives is that little word forgiven. And this woman, she did great wrongs, but she came to the one who could forgive her, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is so grateful. Tears are running down her face. And she starts to wipe his feet with her hair. So thankful. And the Lord Jesus Christ says this, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And what a tremendous thing to be forgiven. To put your head on the pillow at night and to know I'm forgiven in heaven's eyes and that God has accepted me because of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of any merit of my own. And to know as you walk around wherever you go, that you're forgiven in heaven's eyes, and that's all that matters. I look at that scene in the book of Revelation, and it gives heaven seen. And there are those around the throne, 1.4 million people. There would have been more, but I mean, it's just giving a description. It says 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, and that's 1.4 million people around that throne. And what are they singing? They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that has died for me, the Lord Jesus Christ." They're focused on him because he died for them. He forgave them. He went to the cross for them, and he paid the price for their sin. They're not boasting of their good works and all these different things, but they're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. "I don't deserve to be here, but you died for me. And because you died for me, I'm here, and I'm so thankful." And just like this woman who weeps at his feet with a heart of thanksgiving, that's what heaven's going to be filled with. Let's turn to Luke 22. In verse 48. In verse 48 it says, "Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And here is Judas. He would have been one of the 12 disciples. He would have gone out two by two. He would have preached. But he is the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says here in verse 48, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And he was just like the others. And he fit in, and they all looked up to him. They respected him. He would have the money bag. I mean, I always wonder why Matthew didn't have the money bag. Matthew was a tax collector. But Judas is given the money bag, so he would have been more respected. He would have been educated. And they never thought that Judas was going to be the one to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. But Judas would betray the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. But the Lord Jesus Christ so loved Judas. And he reaches out to Judas. And you just see the love of Christ. That at that Passover feast, who does he give the sop to? It's an act of friendship. The sop would be a piece of bread dipped in wine, and he would have given it to someone. And he gives it to Judas. An act of friendship. And then as Judas has murder in his heart, and he comes to that garden, and he's got the band of soldiers behind him. And as he comes to the garden, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? "Friend, why have you come?" And the Lord Jesus Christ is reaching out to this man. And you know, he's reaching out to you here this morning. And you know, just as Judas, I might know all the Bible verses. And we might know the Christian culture and so on. But this man was almost there. Almost there. He kissed heaven's door. But he missed it. And the Lord Jesus Christ was reaching out to him. And you know, this morning, maybe he's reaching out to you. The last words that Judas would say would be this: "I betrayed innocent blood." If you look at the last words of people, I've got this list of different names of different Christians in their last words. There's a man in Port Colborne, some would know him here, Duncan Maxwell. The last words that he would say, "I am that I am," a Bible verse. But the last words of Judas: "I betrayed innocent blood." And a man so close, he would hear the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ publicly and privately. He would have so much privilege. And yet he'd kiss heaven's door. And he'd not make it in. So close. And this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's reaching out to you. And he still wants you to come to him. Judas had the Lord Jesus Christ in his head, but not in his heart. He knew all about Christ. He knew all the teachings of Christ. He could quote it all, but he didn't have Christ in his heart. He never trusted him as his own Savior. And so he would kiss heaven's door, but he would miss it. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Why should we kiss the Son? Why should we believe in the Son? In verse 12, it says this. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way. Why should we kiss the Son? Do you know God has kissed us? He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has kissed us. He's given us all for him. It demands a decision. And we looked at a woman and a man, and they made their decision. And one man kissed the feet of the, or one woman kissed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one man gave him no kisses. And then we see Judas came so close, he would kiss heaven's door. And then we see here, why kiss the Son? What does it say here? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish. Do you know there are two places? When we step out into eternity, when we step out from this scene, there are two places. There's a heaven. There's real people there today. And they're with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're enjoying heaven. But there's another place. And it's a place called hell. Why kiss the Son? Why trust the Son? Because he doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to come to him. And he wants you to trust him. Because what does it say in this verse? Right at the end of the verse, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to perish. It is a real place. The Bible calls it the blackness of darkness forever. And the description of hell, the Lord Jesus Christ would give more information about hell than he would about heaven because he doesn't want us to go there. And he calls it the blackness of darkness forever. There's a lady that was doing studies on the darkness in the human body. And so she was trying to go out and get people to come in and go into a cave for a month. And well, no one volunteered, and so she decided to do it. And she wanted to see the effects of darkness on the human body, and so she went in for a month into this cave. And she said, I came this close to insanity. She said, I just wanted to go out. I just wanted to get out of there. And I just wanted to breathe the fresh air. And I just wanted to see the sun and smell the flowers. But the Bible talks of this place. Is a blackness of darkness forever. Why kiss the Son? Because he doesn't want you to go to this place. That's why he came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he made a way to heaven for you. And that's why he offers his tremendous salvation this morning to everyone. And the last verse is in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. And it says this. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Why kiss the Son? Why trust the Savior? Why believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And what does the Shulamith woman say here? His love is better than wine, and many here could give testimony to that. His love is better than anything, any earthly joy. That's a picture here. His love is better than wine. And all that the world has to offer is nothing compared to his love. Why trust the Son? Why kiss him? Because he offers an abundant life joy and peace. I had a man just Friday come up to me. He was a Chinese man. I was setting up at the university with different books and so on, and the Lord directed him right to me. And the first thing he said is, I've got no peace in my life. I've got this empty feeling within. How do I get rid of it? Christ is the answer. He's come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And his love is greater than wine, any earthly joy. Brad Pitt was interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine. And Brad Pitt, who's at the pinnacle of his career, the man said this. He said, you must be so happy, Brad. You got everything. You got fame, you got riches, you got it all. Do you know what Brad would say? You know, I should. But there's something missing. And what's that thing that's missing? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Madonna could say that. She could say, there's got to be more than life and family and so on. There's got to be more out there. She has it all. And she's even questioning. There's got to be more. Christ is the answer. Why kiss the Son? Because he doesn't want us to perish. Why kiss the Son? Because he offers an abundant life to you. And many could tell you here this morning that there's nothing like the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like waking up in the morning and feeling the love of the Lord in your life, that peace, that joy. There's nothing like it. His love is better than wine. The Father of heaven, oh, he loves us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's loved us. He shows his love towards us. And it's offered to all. It was offered to a woman. It was offered to a man. And this woman kisses the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, he was so close. He came to the door of heaven. And he kissed it. And he turned away. And why? Why do we kiss the Son? Why do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he doesn't want us to perish. And he wants to give us an abundant life in him forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thee thanks this morning. We just give thanks that we can open the scriptures. And Father, that there is a Father in heaven that loves us. And we just praise you for this. And Father, this love wasn't just said, but this love was shown in the giving of your Son. And we think of that tremendous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Father, you could have just banished us and started over. But Father, we're so thankful you didn't scrap us. Father, you came to save us. You came to redeem us. You came to give us new life. And Father, we just praise you for that abundant life in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just pray for any in the audience here this morning. That Father, you're speaking to. We pray, Father, that they might come to the Son. And they might believe in him this morning. We just give thanks for the scriptures. And we thank thee, Father, that we can open the scriptures this morning. And we give thanks in his precious and worthy name.